I came here to pour at your door is a war. Your home they came here to torch, and they knew Fatima is behind the door. Why, why? They heard your holy well, but to no avail, the door became your veil. God forgive the nail, they heard your holy will, but to no avail, the door became your veil. God forgive the nail. Salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra. Zainab is watching on with Hussein and your Hassan. As the flames are burning on with Hussein and your Hassan, and you hear from your son Muhsin calling, vai, 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 vai. You give me breath and you take my breath away. You heal me with your name, and with it you slay. You give me breath and you take my breath away. You heal me with your name, and with it you slay. Salam ya Zahra, 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 salam ya Zahra. Ali called Al-Ali for what he saw, and the seven heavens began to mourn Muhsin and Fatima behind the door. Wa wayla, wa ila. When I think of your light in the darkness of the night, how they took all your rights in the darkness of the night, how Ali hid your sight in the darkness, vai, 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 vai. The door to heaven's door is behind the door. Light of the universe burns, but it's no more. The door to heaven's door is behind the door. Light of the universe burns, but it's no more. Salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra. At your door are the paws, your blood they came here to pour. At your door is a war, your home they came here to torch, and they knew Fatima is behind the door. Vai, vai. They heard your holy will, but to no avail, the door became your veil. God forgive the nail, they heard your holy will, but to no avail, the door became your veil. God forgive the nail. Salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra, salam ya Zahra.
أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد. ثانية على حب الزهراء صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Brothers and sisters, respected Sheikh Osama, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And on behalf of the Light of Guidance, we welcome you all again, alhamdulillah, for the second night of our Fatimiyah program. And we again thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq to be able to commemorate the shahada of Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen. Inshallah, if you guys can help me, please welcome our brother Hassan Fakhreddin to start us off with the recitation of the Holy Quran after a loud salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
I'll be reciting, inshallah, from Surah Al-Furqan, page number 365, verses 60 to 77. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما
ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله متابا والذين لا يشهدون الزور وإذا مروا باللغو مروا كراما والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنة مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما صدق الله العلي العظيم
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد
أحسنتم أفلح من أعاد الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد And inshallah, if we can just request from everybody to please recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the souls of the marhumin of tonight's sponsors and for the soul of Al-Imam Al-Khumayni rahmatullahi alayh And for all of the ulama and the shuhada, ba'd as-salati ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Just a couple of quick announcements, inshallah. Sponsorships, inshallah, for the Fatimiyah program. If anybody is able and interested in contributing, can be made to the Hadi Institute through all of the various means of payment. Inshallah, if anybody's interested in sponsoring, the sponsorships for one night's program are $300. But anything that can be contributed is also appreciated. And inshallah, for any children who are between the ages of 3 and 7, we do have a small kids program downstairs in the cafeteria where the kids will be doing different activities. And then inshallah, for the Latmiya portion of the program, the leads of the kids program will then bring them up, inshallah. And with that, inshallah, we'll welcome our sister Fatima Najdi to recite some poetry with a loud salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله we've been given the tawfiq to commemorate the shahadat of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam This poem is mainly a recount of the events that took place if we can begin with Allah salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad Ali hears a sound. He sees Zahra broken. It was sharp. It was quick. A bone breaks. Fatima has fallen. Heavy footsteps of heavy men are rustling. Towards the house of love and light, they're rushing. The earth is ashamed to hold their weight any longer. Even the throne of Allah is thrown into a fit of anger. The stars, moon, planets, and all try to slow their rotation. They beg the Lord for one last look at Fatima's prostration. Inside this house, Fatima, her father, her husband, and her children by Jibreel were met and by Allah salams were given. The house of Fatima provides light to the heavens. Hellfire is jealous until they reach that door with their fire and weapons. God forgive me for repeating these words. Ali, Ali, don't be a coward. Come out and no harm will be done. As if the lifter of Khaybar's gate is afraid to take action. As if their words were words of truth and indeed no harm would be done. They knew the mother of this house was going to say never to humiliation. If you don't open this door, if you don't open this door, we will force ourselves inside. But Fatima is behind the door, one of them replied. But Fatima is behind the door, one of them replied. Fatima, Muhsin, and this door are all that remain on the front lines. Where is the army of Badr? Why is everyone on the sidelines? We will burn this house with you and Fatima in it. Strange, they're rushing towards hell, proud to be the culprit. So what? So what if she's in the house? So what if she's behind the door? This fire touches the house of Fatima. There's no going back anymore. The house of Fatima is on fire, but they're thirsty for blood. The door of Fatima is kicked in with the force of a raging flood. The door is pressed without shame or remorse, for the rib snapped. Between the holy wall and the holy door, she is entrapped by Allah and His power. How did these moments come to pass? Fatima's house, Iblis himself wouldn't dare to trespass. Fatima between the wall and door, she is squeezed and crushed. Her wail has pierced the veils of heaven. All else is hushed. Was Muhsin killed by the wail of his mother or her pierced womb? Ali's heart is burning and what has been brought to view. They grab Ali, but Fatima does not give up her imam easily. She throws herself in front of him like the stars that fell in agony. Who owns the heart that can see what they did next? I swear hearing it has not lessened the weight of it one bit. What strength did Ali have to watch the events unfold? The rope is not enough. Onto the throne of Allah, Ali must hold. As he sees their arm move back and swing with all of his force, it slaps the Lady of Light's face without any remorse. What planets fell out of orbit with the sound of this slap? Which sound was this? Which sound was worse? This or the sound of Zahrat's rib snap? What broke and what fell? What broke and what fell when Fatima fell? And when Fatima broke and fell, the earth swelled in anger as Fatima's face began to swell. Again, they grab her imam and Zahra is his only army. Zahra is his only army. So they whip her and they whip her until she lets go of her Ali. On the floor, motionless. And Ali is dragged away. Oh, mother, for your healing, won't you implore Allah and pray? Ali's heart is thirsty for your love, care, and attention. He needs you. You are his soul and his only companion. Your fever is running high, but you don't complain or tell. You know this world is not for you, and it's time to say farewell. No one knows the pain of a broken rib like you do. It has made a deep breath impossible for you to do. The valorous Ali has his shoulders down when he calls. Hassan, Hussein, Zainab, come. And they know why he calls. Oh, Fatima, give your father our salam when you see him. Her breaths are shallow and she has become weak and thin. When the angel of death met her, her tears stopped falling. At last, there is peace, but she knows her Ali is dying. My soul is crying, O Fatima. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Your thin and delicate body is too heavy for me to carry. You were the flower of this home, but its nurturer too. Always rush to aid me, so tell me, Fatima, how do I bid farewell to you? Ali hears a sound and he sees Zahra broken. It was sharp, it was quick. A bone breaks, and Fatima has fallen. Fatima has fallen. Wassalamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Adam Allah ajurakum, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
For the love of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra, sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, it's now my honor to welcome our dear and our respected teacher, Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani, with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد So dear brothers and sisters in Islam assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah So welcome back to the second day of our Fatimiyya program This year we have been discussing a very important topic, a topic that we need in order to raise the soldiers of Sahib al-Zaman. That topic is raising Fatimiyun. What are some of the techniques that Sayyida Fatima used in order to raise those children who would later be champions? You see, the first students of Sayyida Fatima, her direct students are actually her children. If we talk about karama, if you want to see karama, you see it in Aba Abdullah. One man facing an army of 30,000 people with women and children. You know you're not making it out. And then when they offered him that shameful offer, to submit and be humiliated and be a slave and live under the taghut, he famously said, Hayhat minna dhilla, never to humiliation. This is the student of Fatima. This is the tarbiyah of Zahra. But what happens is, you don't only see it in those direct students. Even when you look towards the modern day, May Allah bless Imam Khomeini. May Allah bless the leader, Imam Khamenei. When you look at the students who are now paving the way for the return of the Imam, again you see karama. Not only in the leader himself, the wali of the time, but you see it in those ulama who've recognized the importance, the necessity of defending the wali of the time. Karama again. His Eminence Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, His Eminence Sayyid Hashim al-Haydari, karama. But not only that, in the soldiers, in the shuhada. There's a video online of one of our shuhada. This shaheed, when Qasim Soleimani recounted his story, he broke down in tears. Qasim Soleimani, he broke down in tears. This shaheed, his name is Dhulfiqar Hassan Izzuddin. Now this young man, when you see the video, he's bleeding out. He's surrounded by Daesh, and he knows he's going to be decapitated. How does one keep one's composure and stay so brave and so focused? It's the tarbiyah of Fatima. So what happens is you and I, who have this heavy responsibility of preparing our children and ourselves to be the soldiers of the Imam, we need, more than anyone else, these lessons on karama. Now, today, we'd like to cover five questions. Again, if we have time, there's no rush. I don't want us to try and put, I want to keep it at 40 minutes. We don't want to rush. If we can, we want to cover five questions. The five questions that we may cover are the following. The first question is, what do we mean by a deeper understanding of big picture Islamic tarbiyah? There's a question that we need to ask ourselves and to answer properly in order to properly appreciate training based on tarbiyah. That's one question. The second question is, why is it that for the elite soldiers of Sahib al-Zaman, that they engage actively in self-purification? Why is that a need? Why is that a necessity? That's number two. Number three, what are the miraculous effects of karama on human behavior? What's so different? What are the miraculous effects of karama on human behavior? Number four, what is the relationship between karama and taqwa? That's also going to be very important. What's the relationship between karama and taqwa? Finally, if we have enough time tonight, then again, we take to take, even if it's a brief moment, to have a look at the mindset of a kareem. The mindset of a kareem. But we'll start, inshallah, with a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And if I can get one brave brother to bring me some water, I'll definitely make dua for that brother. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the first question, brothers and sisters, is what exactly do we mean by a deeper understanding of big picture Islamic tarbiyah? Oh, it looks like we have our brother. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Inshallah, that brother and the entire Hadi family and the ummah of Muhammad, all of us are raised with Sayyida Fatima. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Back to our question. A deeper understanding of big picture Islamic tarbiyah. In Islamic tarbiyah, when we look at children and trying to make them soldiers for the imam, what is our definition of religiosity? This is very important. What's our definition of religiosity? Is religiosity just getting someone to conform to the wajibat? Are we just worried about the outward, external behavior? Have we been successful if we've convinced someone to wear the hijab? Someone wasn't making salah, we've convinced them now to make salah. Is that the extent of what we're looking for when it comes to Islamic tarbiyah? Or are we looking for something deeper in Islamic tarbiyah? What happens, brothers and sisters, is we're going to be talking about, when we go over this discussion of karama, it's kind of a master key that unlocks many, many locks. If a parent doesn't understand the importance of karama, that goal, let's say there's a teacher, I'm in a classroom, I'm working with young children, but I don't understand the importance of karama. I'm a big brother, a big sister. I'm trying to help these people who are in my social circle to be effective soldiers elite soldiers for the Imam of the time, but I haven't understood karama. I won't be that effective. Big picture in Islam, big picture Islamic tarbiyah. When you see someone, let's say there's a brother or sister in faith, a mu'min or mu'mina, and this person has chosen, unfortunately, to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm standing and I'm defiant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is my whole job just to get this person to conform? Or is there something else? Big picture Islamic tarbiyah looks at the defiance of this particular individual as a reason or as a symptom of a greater cause. There's a reason why this person has chosen to stand up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, why would they do that? There's a reason. Let me give you a medical example and then let's move back. Let's say there was a doctor, right? Because what we're saying now is that misbehaving, it's a result of a spiritual ailment. Medical example. Let's say someone comes to a doctor, and this person who comes to a doctor has a fever. Let's say just a doctor who didn't really care. My whole focus is just bringing down this person's body temperature. But a doctor who's worth his or her salt will say, this is a symptom. There's something going on in your body. If I could fix that, the symptom would cure itself. My whole focus is not just bringing down your temperature, making you conform, getting your body right. I know there's something there. Otherwise, why do you have a fever? If I could address that, if I could fix that, these results would come. So I am concerned with the fever, but I'm more concerned, again, if that possibility is there with addressing the cause. Now, in Islamic tarbiyah, big picture Islamic tarbiyah, what we're trying to do is to create a system where a mu'min or mu'mina automatically, without being forced, without being prompted, automatically wants to stay away from certain reprehensible actions. Let's put it in this way. We're strengthening the person's spiritual core, their spiritual immune system. If you have a strong spiritual immune system, you won't even get certain diseases. If I could strengthen your core, if I could fix that. So in Islamic tarbiyah, it's not just about getting someone to conform, that we see an action that they're doing that we disapprove of, which is wrong, and just trying to fix that. If the conditions are right, we want to fix that real problem. If we're training a small child, if we're involved actively in tarbiyah, I want to set this child on a course that automatically is going to lead to correct behavior. So, now let me just say something just to clarify what I'm saying. I don't want it to be taken this way, that you and I, we see someone who's misbehaving, who's doing something wrong, and we don't want to focus on doing al-amr bil-ma'ruf and nahin al-munkar. We do have to do that. That's absolutely wajib. If those four conditions are there, it's absolutely wajib to do verbal amr bil ma'ruf and nahy an munkar. We're not denying that. You have to. That's important. That's a challenge nowadays. And the ahadith about it, about those people who are indifferent when it comes to their brothers and sister, and them making mistakes and doing the wrong things and harming themselves and destructive behavior, are kind of scary. This one is from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Our Prophet says this. This is about al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an munkar. Verbal opposition to wrong behavior. Speaking, talking, preaching, explaining, not standing on the sidelines. The hadith is this: Inna Allah Azza wa Jal, truly Allah, invincible and majestic is He. La yubghidhu al-mu'minu al-dha'if, hates God, arhamur rahimin, hates the weak mu'min, al-mu'minu al-dha'if, alladhi la deena lah, who has no deen. God hates that mu'min or mu'mina who's dha'if, who's weak and has no deen. The Prophet was asked by the companions, they said, but who's that person who's a weak mu'min, who has no deen, that's so harsh? Who is that person? God forbid we not be that person. What did the Prophet say? The Prophet said this: الَّذِي لَا يَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. It's the one who sees munkar happening, sees wrong, and won't speak up. I just smile at everybody. I don't care about my brothers and sisters, right? Because otherwise, Amirul Mu'mineen taught us, man ahabbaka nahak. The person who loves you, sees you making a serious mistake. Man ahabbaka, the person who loves you, nahak, stops you. Why would I be so uncaring? Why would I just watch as this mu'min or mu'mina is standing in the way of a Mack truck? You're talking about Qiyamah, and I'm just going to sit and smile or empower them? No. So I'm not talking, brothers and sisters, about the importance of Al-Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi Munkar. That verbal Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi Munkar, that has to be there. We have a responsibility. Our necks are on the line. What I'm talking about is something a little bit deeper. Back to our medical example. If there was that doctor, and I saw that you had a problem, you had that severe fever, and my whole focus was just getting the fever down, but I didn't address, I didn't go further, if the grounds were there, it might actually be a disservice. Why is it a disservice? It might actually be cruel. Why would it be cruel? Let's say you could help me, you could fix me. I have a fever. You know that the fever is coming from something else, deeper. That needs to be fixed. You can't address it. The grounds are there. You don't. I now don't have the fever anymore. I might think I've been cured. I'm not even looking to go over. I don't think I'm sick anymore. So the righteous doctor, the caring doctor, if those grounds are there, I want to address the cause, not just the symptom. I have to do Al-Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi Anil Munkar. But is there a way of addressing the cause? That way, brothers and sisters, is karama. That cause, if that Islamic dignity and self-worth can be developed, that will cure automatically many of the misbehaving. Second question. The second question, brothers and sisters, was this: why is it imperative for the elite soldiers of the Imam to engage actively in self-purification? Why is that a need? Brothers and sisters, the ultimate goal of Islamic tarbiyah, the ultimate, the final objective, what is it? Allah says in the Quran, Surah 51 and verse number 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ, and I did not create the jinn and the men, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, except that they worship me, they serve me, they become slaves, ubudiyya, they follow only me, they worship only me, they obey only me. Liyabudu. Divine servitude, ubudiyya, is impossible without self-purification. Impossible. What do we mean by self-purification? This is just a brief definition. Self-purification, brothers and sisters, is cleansing the nafs of base, lower desires. Cleansing the nafs of base, lower desires. Now, our actions, our souls, our external actions are determined by our inner state, our inner desires, our inner... We talked about the moral compass the other day. As long as those wrong desires are still there and haven't been addressed, you'll see that given time, given the right circumstances, I will start to exhibit wrong behavior. In Farsi, they have a saying. They say, this person is a professional swimmer. The pool's just not deep. Otherwise, if that pool is there, you'll see this person, they can swim. If I'm practicing, but I haven't engaged actively in self-purification, I haven't got rid of the core problem, those lower desires, then given time, so what does karama do, if we were able to get to it? This is now from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The Imam says this, man karumat alayhi nafsu. That man or woman, man karumat alayhi nafsu, who enjoys Islamic karama, Islamic dignity, Islamic self-worth. My relationship with God has been fixed. Man karumat alayhi nafsu, hanat alayhi shahawato. Their shahawat, those lower desires I talked about, those become unimportant for the person, trivial for the person, insignificant for the person. If I can have karama, those lower desires that make others make mistakes, they're for me. Those aren't strong, powerful desires, things I can't say no to. To me, they're trivial, they're insignificant. Then you see the person start to do things that for others are a big deal. Example. I want to use one example from the life of Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, when it comes to recruiting athletes, let's say for professional football, right now it's football season, professional football, they have some athletes who are four-star athletes, there's some who are five-star athletes, they're uber-talented. They can do things that you and I, normal human beings, we just can't do. They're just faster, they're stronger, they're quicker, their reflexes. It's something you have to see. Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi was one of those uber-talented individuals. Just as a tiny example, you may have read this in the book, he could play volleyball 1-4. He could stand on one side, four guys trying to beat him, and cat quick. Right? Any sport, they would talk about it. Well, what about this sport? What about this? Uber talented. How much right now do people like to be famous? Do people like to have people liking their Instagram posts, saying, we all? Ibrahim Hadi is in the best shape of his life. Now, of course, he's someone who used to always repeat what Imam Khomeini said, right? Exercise isn't the purpose of our lives, right? But he's been training. He's been working. This is going to be his year. Uber talented. His friend tells a story. He says that I was part of the scout team for Ibrahim Hadi. He's going up, going through the ranks, semifinals, got to the finals. Alhamdulillah, this is your year, Ibrahim. I checked out your opponent. Your opponent, he was a champion before. He's not so good this year. I know you can do it. He scouted him. So he's waiting to go and see his friend Ibrahim rip this man apart. He sees that just before they start wrestling, the other wrestler comes to Ibrahim and he says something, kind of like whispers something in his ear. They smile. Ibrahim nods. And then the match begins. When the match begins, he sees that Ibrahim isn't really pushing back, fighting aggressively. He's not taking the guy down. And at first, the other guy was kind of scared of Ibrahim. He knew who Ibrahim was. He said, but I did notice something. There's an old lady in the stands, and she's doing dhikr. But I'm on the other side, myself, the coaches, the crowd. Tear him apart, Ibrahim. Finish him off. This is your year. And Ibrahim's just batting the... Until finally the other guy gets bold. Okay, well, if it's not going to happen, the other guy takes Ibrahim down and he defeats Ibrahim. The guy who's telling the story says, after the wrestling match, I was so angry. I went into the locker room. I'm punching the lockers. Ibrahim, this was your year. What are you doing? Why? He said, Ibrahim was like, look, it's just not important. Don't take it so seriously. Ibrahim leaves. He says the other wrestler comes. He didn't even want to talk to the other wrestler. He was so angry, angry at Ibrahim, frustrated. Why? The other wrestler said, you're Ibrahim's friend? He starts up the conversation. You have no idea what a great man you're a friend with. What happened? I told Ibrahim, when we first started, when I whispered to him, I said, you know, I'm not as strong as you. I'm going to lose this match. But you know, my mom's watching. I just don't want you to like really rip me apart. Just like don't just like humiliate me in front of my mom. Just please, you're going to beat me, but don't, right? He said, Ibrahim went all out though. For Ibrahim, there was something more important than winning, more important than his shahawat, more important than being famous. His shahawat were insignificant to him. He wanted him to win in front of his mom. The guy was in tears later. I had just gotten married. I needed the money so badly. Right? Some people, for them, the dunya, the shahawat are low. Who are these people? Man karumat alayhi nafsu. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Our third question is this. What are the miraculous effects of karama on human behavior? How different is someone who has karama when it comes to human behavior? When we look at the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, we'll see that many of those noble traits that we admire, that we look and we say, well, subhanAllah, when we see them embodied in someone, if you look at the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, they'll tell you these traits are the result of karama. The traits that we're going to talk about are going to cover three major areas of human life. What are the three areas that would be affected in a big way through karama if a parent can train his child to literally be someone of Islamic self-worth? Remember those ahadith that we've already talked about before for the first 7 years? The idea of intense love that the Ahlul Bayt have talked about. Intense love. The idea of me as a parent playing games with my children. What Amir al-Mu'mineen says, and when you play games, be a child. Giving freedom. All of those different things that they talked about for the first 7 years. What happens if the person gets karama? What's going to be some of the effects? Three areas we're going to be looking at. One of them will be the outlook, the mindset, the take of the person who has karama on the responsibilities that Allah has placed on his or her shoulders. Those divine takalif, those duties, that will be something that will be transformed by the discussion of karama. Number two will be the interactions between the mu'min or mu'mina and others. Number two. Number three is going to be certain spiritual changes that take place in the heart of the person who has karama. And those spiritual changes, when they take place, the outward effect is going to be spectacular. So those three areas. So it's a game changer. One quick point of order, though. One disclaimer, put it that way. One disclaimer. I just have to be honest. Just because a set of parents, mastered the training of a child, make sure they mastered how to raise a child with karama. If we've mastered it, if we've implemented it properly, does that guarantee Does it guarantee that the traits that are mentioned as a result of karama will happen? The answer is no. For instance, as an example, one of the results of karama will be bravery. Legendary bravery. But does it mean that the only thing I need to focus on when it comes to the training of my children is karama? And if I do that, then 100% I'm guaranteed to have my children turn out to be brave? No. Because there are some other factors that go into bravery. For instance, as an example, there are certain other teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, certain other choices that the person has to make. So I don't want to oversell karama, but what we're doing is doing our responsibility and creating the grounds, giving our children that fighting chance at greatness. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Okay, our next question is this. What's the relationship between karama and taqwa? What's the relationship between karama and taqwa? But taqwa now, that isn't forced. It's internal. The person's self-motivated. One of the major things that we're going to learn if karama is properly enacted is that the person wants to stay away from things that are ugly, things that are disgusting, things that are low. A non-kareem would struggle with these things. A person with karama would find that they're easy to take to do. These responsibilities are easy to do. One kind of reminder is this. Sometimes, this is a little bit of a warning. If there is a parent who's very concerned about raising my children right, but unfortunately, my method of tarbiyah involves disproportionate punishment. Disproportionate punishment. If my method of tarbiyah isn't one where I'm my child's best friend, but rather one where I'm just constantly barking out orders. If I'm always, and going overboard with this, monitoring and controlling. I'm not saying that it's not right to do to a certain extent, but if it's too much control on controlling, it doesn't foster that sense of karama. Our children, instead, they'll run towards areas where they can feel safe with their friends. They might even dislike religious circles and religious gatherings. It's a little bit of a warning. Karama, on the other hand, has those spectacular effects. We're going to talk about the effect that it has on taqwa. But misusing, right? Out of fear sometimes, we're operating from fear. I haven't learned to trust God enough to implement it the way of the Ahlul Bayt. Sometimes the results are the opposite. Now, a person who has taqwa will realize, meaning a person who has karama will realize how beautiful taqwa is. We had talked about taqwa, we had a discussion that we had here as the Hadi family, so I won't go into the definition of taqwa right now, just kind of use the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt. So this first one is from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wassalam. Salawat please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The Imam defines karama. Innama al-karamu. Karama. Islamic dignity. Islamic self-worth. Innama al-karamu. At-tanazzul 'anil ma'asi is to separate oneself, to distance oneself from sin, ma'asi. Man karamat 'alayhi nafsuhu, that person who finds their self to be valuable in God's eyes. Islamic dignity, Islamic self-worth. Man karamat 'alayhi nafsuhu lam yuhinha bil ma'siyah. They won't insult themselves, lower themselves, disgrace themselves with masiya. What the scholars tell us is, if we want to ever look for a measuring stick, how successful have I been in training myself or my children to have karama, the measuring stick for myself or for my children, is how much does this person want to stay away from sin. For ourselves, right? Because the Imam defined it. Innama al-karamu. The only thing that is karama is a tanazzu, avoiding anil ma'asi. So I want to go and again, we did this last time. We went into the mind of a non-kareem for a second. And then after that, we're going to go into the mindset of a kareem. First, the non-kareem. There are certain sins that are common sins for many mu'mineen and mu'minat. But if you kind of analyze the sin, maybe we can see how ugly the sin is. The kareem is the person who wants to stay from all things ugly. Ghiba. Ghiba, backbiting. The non-kareem is having a conversation in his mind. I'm a non-kareem. I know I don't like it if people talk about me behind my back. I'm about to have a conversation about somebody else behind their back, though. I know if they heard me, what I'm about to say, they would be so upset. But for me, that's not important. I'm going to talk anyway. I'll mention another one. False accusations. Some people will accuse somebody of something, even though I know. I'm so angry, the non-kareem. I'm so angry at this brother or this sister. I'm going to make up something. By the time they prove that it's not true, their honor will be taken away. I don't mind that it takes some time. I just want to get even. I'll feel better seeing them humiliated. Spying. In Islam, the ayat of la tajassasu. The non-kareem knows that I'm not supposed to spy, but I want to know what's going on in people's lives. It's important for me that I know. I don't care that the person's bothered by it. I've got to know. We're just going to go a little bit into the mindset of the kareem. Now, the mindset of the kareem is very different. The karama is based on a relationship with God. A person who has karama, they see themselves as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are certain things that God doesn't like, the mindset of the kareem now. How does the kareem see sin? The non-kareem sees certain sins, yeah, it's negative, it's bad, but it's not all that bad. It's haram, but you know, I'll make tawbah, inshallah. What about the kareem? The kareem, because of the relationship with God, because of how important God is in their eyes, they can't help but think, all of these things that I've been given are blessings from God. Me sinning, me standing up to God, is saying, God, I don't care you gave me blessings. Yeah, you gave me blessings. I can use them any way I'd like to. You don't get to order me. The non-kareem, the kareem is someone, God's too important. Being Allah's servant, getting close to him, my station as Allah's khalifa, that's too important to risk. My relationship with God, that's not something I can play games with. So the non-kareem would obviously, meaning the kareem is obviously someone who would take the station that God has given them very seriously, as it says in the ayat of the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have truly honored the children of Adam. Brothers and sisters, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about something that was very tragic when it came to the Masaib of our mother. I want to talk about the slap. You see, there were some things that you could tell. According to the Ahlul Bayt, they were very heavy. It was hard for the Ahlul Bayt to deal with. They didn't like this. Sometimes even later, even hearing about it. And the slap was one of those things. Remember, Zahra is al-Karima, the dignified one, the noble one. And to slap a noble person across their face is so disgraceful. Why was she so Kareem and so noble. God, this hadith now, that why was she named Az-Zahra? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَلَقَهَا مِن نُورِ عَظَمَتِهِ. Because God created her from the light of His majesty. She's Kareem. She's noble. The Prophet made sure to ensure that the believers knew this. How would he do that? One of the things the Prophet used to do is whenever he would go on a trip, the first person that he would, when he would come back from the trip, he would go visit his family members. But you know the first person he would visit? First he would go over and visit Sayyida Zahra. When he's about to leave, I speak to my friends, I speak to my family members. But the last person to leave, I want to say farewell to would be Sayyida Zahra. Once Imam Sadiq, a man says that I talked to him. And I told him, I said that Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with a little girl. And the Imam was so happy. Alhamdulillah, He blessed you with a little girl. He said, what did you guys name her? He said, we named her Fatima. He said, suddenly the Imam's face crumpled. His expression changed. The Imam started moaning out loud. He said, ah, ah, ah. And the Imam hit himself in the forehead. He said, if you've named her Fatima, promise me you won't do this. Don't use foul language with her. Don't curse at her. And please, please, never slap her. The Prophet told us to have mercy on that person who's aziz and then publicly humiliated. Our mother, Sayyida Fatima, used the opportunity of the enemy taking Fadak to use it as a chance again to talk to the Muslims about the wilayah of the wali of the time. She gave that fiery khutbah in the masjid. The enemy had no answer. She also laced those Muslims who were indifferent, who wouldn't stand up for the wali of the time. And the authorities had no choice. One of the authorities wrote an order from the Khalifa to give her back Fadak. Sayyida Fatima left now with Fadak, with the paper in her hands. Another one of the authorities followed her. He said, where is that letter? What letter? That letter you just got from the authorities. That letter says I get Fadak back. Give it to me. She refused to give it to him. He then kicked Sayyida Fatima in the stomach. After that, when she's gasping for air, he slapped her so hard across the face. The Imam Sadiq says, as if I could see the earring flying from her ear. Sayyida Fatima collapsed to the ground. And when she collapsed to the ground, then he snatched the letter from her and he ripped it into shreds. Allah la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyaman qalibin janam.
أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد. Inshallah, we're gonna begin the Latmiya. If we can just ask for the brothers to please help us out by moving the chairs and stacking them on the side. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We are the sons of Fatima Zahra. Through our tasbih we learn, Mother. And from your pierced rib we learn taqwa. And your path leads us to Allah. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We are the Fatima Zahra. We are the sons of Fatima Zahra. We are the sons of Fatima Zahra. Through our tasbih we learn, Mother. And from your pierced rib we learn taqwa. And your path leads us to Allah. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We are the sons of Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. For the greatness of Lady Zahra, the diamond that resides in our heart, the mother of Mujtaba and Hawra, the mother of the greatest martyr, Ali's her leader, Ali's my leader. They will try to sanction all of them, but stay firm on the path of Haidar. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We will say the truth. We are the sons. We are the sons of. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Sayyida Zahra taught us the path. If everyone goes to that valley, and Ali goes to that valley, leave everyone and follow Zahra to the valley of Haidar Karrar. If mankind forgets the oppressed, there will be a group who resists. Wilaya runs in our blood. In Palestine we will pray as one. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We are the sons of. We are the Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Her guidance has taught us true love. You stood behind the door for your leader. We speak against oppression like our leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the son of Hussein and Imam Mahdi. If only the world really knew you,
to see the qualities of Zahra in you. Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the son of Hussein and Imam Mahdi. If only the world really knew you, to see the qualities of Zahra in you. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We will not shy away, we will. We are the sons of. We are the sons of Fatima Zahra. We are the sons of Fatima Zahra. Through our tasbih we learn, mother. And from your pierced rib we learn taqwa. And your path leads us to Allah. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We will not shy away, we will say the truth. We are the sons of Fatima Zahra. We are the sons of Fatima Zahra. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا وتسكنه وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين
Manjurin, thank you to everybody for coming out. Inshallah, we hope to see everybody again tomorrow at 7 o'clock for the last evening of the Fatimiyah program. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Ali called Al-Ali for what he saw and the seven heavens began to mourn Muhsin and Fatima behind the door. Wa wa ila wa ila. When I think of your light in the darkness of the night, how they took all your rights in the darkness of the night. How Ali hid your sight in the darkness. Vai, 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 vai. The door to heaven's door.